Good evening, everyone. We're joining Instagram Live, and nice to be here. Today we're going to be talking about different mistakes. We all commit mistakes. And yeah, I'm going to be reflecting a little bit on some of the mistakes that I think I made in my life. And what I learned from them. Thank you so much, Padma Lochan, Manjot, Nayan. So thank you so much for so many of you coming on, taking the time. So yeah, since the last week we've been traveling. We went to Birmingham, then we went to Nottingham, then we went to Sheffield, we were in Lincoln, and now we're down in Leicester overnight, and we're heading towards Manchester for the weekend. So it's been amazing. We've had great interactions, meeting people on the streets, and yeah, so many beautiful stories. So yeah, hopefully we'll be able to share some of that with you. Mino, thanks for coming on. Hare Krishna to you. And Rasa Rambi. Subhadra Krishna, welcome. Vinesh, welcome. Roma, we'll just give everyone a few more minutes to log on. And yeah, today we're going to be talking about mistakes. And as I talk about mistakes that that have happened in the past, maybe you can think of some mistakes that maybe you've made. Today is an opportunity to come clean, and if you want to share with us on the chat any of the mistakes that you've made, maybe you can share a mistake and a lesson that you learned from it, or maybe you can share a mistake and ask what you should learn from that mistake, and we can have some discussion at the end of today's talk. But mistakes are a part of life. In the English language, they say to err is human. And it's very interesting that in our scriptures it said that the human being has four defects. The first defect of a human being is that they have imperfect senses. Not much you can do about that. You can't trade in your senses. They are imperfect. Your eyesight fails, your hearing fades, your sense of touch can sometimes become numb when it gets really cold like today. So we have imperfect senses. That's the first defect of the conditioned soul. And because we have imperfect senses, the scriptures say the next defect of the conditioned soul is that we're subject to illusion. In other words, because we don't perceive the world perfectly through our senses, we are not able to access the clarity of reality at every moment, and therefore we're subject to illusion. That's the second defect of the conditioned soul. And then the scriptures say the third defect of the conditioned soul is that because we're subject to illusion, we make mistakes. And there's nothing much we can do about that because we go into illusion, and as I said, to err is human. But the fourth defect of the conditioned soul that the scriptures say is cheating. And it's interesting because the first three defects we can't do much about. We have imperfect senses, we will be subject to illusion, and it's quite likely we'll commit mistakes. But the fourth defect of cheating is something we can do something about. In other words, when we make a mistake, do we try and cover it up? Do we try and sweep it under the carpet, lock it in the closet? Do we try and defend ourselves or justify ourselves? Or do we come and just admit what mistakes we made and not try to put up a facade? Are we honest in our weakness? If we're able to do that and circumvent the fourth mistake, then even though we make mistakes, we can still go forward. And so today, I'm not going to be trying to cheat any of you. I'm going to come clean and tell you mistakes I made. And What I wanted to say actually is that when I was reflecting on the mistakes that I've made in my life, I feel as though I was thinking, like, were those really mistakes? Because they brought me to where I am now. And it brought that very great realization that if we learn from our mistakes, then they're not mistakes. If we grow, if we evolve, if we elevate ourselves, then that's part of our journey. And so even when today I'm going to tell you about my mistakes, in one sense I don't feel like they are mistakes. I feel like they are a growth, but I feel there may be things you can learn from. And I think it was Eleanor Roosevelt, she said that there's unlimited mistakes you can make in life, and you don't have time to all make all of the mistakes, so it's good to learn from other people's mistakes. So I'm going to share with you four of those things. And the four mistakes that I'm going to share with you today are to do with four parts of life. When I think of life, I think that there are four major parts of our life which require attention and in which we really have to evolve and develop. The first part of our life is our self-development. The second part of our life is our relationships. The third part of our life is our contribution. And the fourth part of our life is our spirituality. If I think about life, I always reflect on these four areas. For me, they're like the four corners of the picture. And today I'm going to give you four different mistakes which relate to each one of these aspects. I'm going to tell you a mistake I made when it was dealing with self-development, a mistake pertaining to relationships, a mistake pertaining to contribution, and a mistake pertaining to spirituality. So stay tuned. That's what I'm going to do. And do share with us some of your mistakes if you feel brave enough. And if you have any questions, then do put them on. And I'm going to be browsing through your comments. And I'm going to try my best to answer some of your questions and reflections on mistakes. So the first mistake that I want to share with you that I feel I made in my life, this mistake, I call it helpless means hopeless. Okay, this is the first sutra pertaining to the first mistake. Helpless means hopeless. And this is pertaining to self-development. In my life, I felt like in my earlier years, especially when I joined the monastery as a monk, and for the first 5 or 10 years, I made this mistake, which was that I didn't really let people into my life. I really didn't develop close relationships with mentors, coaches, guides, gurus. I was living in a monastery. I was surrounded by incredible people. But somehow or other, there was something within me that never really wanted to establish close relationships with these people. I always kept a little bit of a distance. I was reflecting today, why did I stay away from coaches, guides, mentors, gurus? I think part of it was shyness. I was shy. I felt like I'm really insignificant. Why should I waste these people's time? Why do I want them to get involved in my life? I'm a no one. So I think some of it was shyness, why I stayed away from very amazing people who could help me. I think the second thing was vulnerability. I don't know, like, if I would let people into my life, what they would start telling me to do and how I might have to follow their advice and how they may turn things upside down. So I felt a little like insecure letting people into my life, and I think that might be another reason. And I think the third reason why I didn't let people into my life was pride, because I thought, like, I'm doing good. I'm doing totally fine. Why do I need anyone else to help me? And therefore, I didn't really let people into my life. It was like on the motorway, they say, keep two chevrons apart. So I had all these amazing people around me, but I always kept a little bit of a distance for the reasons that I just said. And I think that was a big mistake. I really think that was a big mistake. Because at a certain point in my life, I realized that I've only gone as far as I can go off my own strength. I came to the stark realization that in this world, nobody is self-made. Everyone needs the help, assistance, guidance, encouragement, support of other people. And so at a certain point in my life, I started opening my doors of my life to let people in. People who could give me feedback, people who could give me advice, people who could correct me, people who could encourage me, people who could begin to give me a vision. And I can say that when I opened the doors and allowed people into my life, then amazing things happened. So the sutra I've given you is helpless means hopeless. In other words, if you don't take the help of others, if you close yourself off, or if you create a bubble around you, which means no one wants to approach you to help you, then if you are helpless, then you will be hopeless. You will lose out on so many things. You won't have the hope. You won't have the strength. You won't have the vision to achieve your potential. And so I really feel now this was a mistake that I learned from. And maybe it's something that all of you can think about in your life, that who are those people in your life who are helping you? Who are those people in life who are giving you feedback? Who are those people in your life who are helping you to craft a vision? You have to invest in those relationships, and you have to find people who know you, people who love you, people who have the spiritual acumen to be able to help you, and let them into your life. Because spirituality, it's, as I said, no one's ever self-made. In America, they had this thing, rugged individualism, that, you know, you just got to do it yourself. But in spiritual life, it really doesn't work like that. We need help. And so there are so many gifts to be had when we connect with people who can help us. I just want to put a caution here that when I say let people in your life so that they can help you, one extreme that people go to is then they become over-dependent on others. They think everyone else should do everything for them. They become reliant. They rest on others instead of walking on their own two feet. So that's an extreme, and that we shouldn't do. But definitely to take help, advice, and support from others will bring you a spiritual growth that that really takes you to another level. So there you go. That's my first mistake, major mistake I made in my life, is staying away from people who could help me. There was once a CEO, and all the apprentice salespeople were in the, hundreds of them were in the auditorium. And on stage, the CEO said, "Put your hand up if you know the most successful salesperson in this building." And practically everyone put their hand up. And he said, "Put your hands down." And then he said, "Put your hand up if any of you have ever gone to that person and asked for help or advice." And no one put their hand up. And then he said, "That's why you guys are not achieving your potential. Because when you see people who are accomplished, who can help you, who can assist you, then take help. Don't be too shy. Don't be too cautious. And don't be too proud to take help. Because in spirituality, nobody is self-made. And I think I learned that the hard way. So that's my first mistake, which pertains to self-development. Helpless means hopeless. I'm going to move on. Thank you so much, all of you who are joining. Clara, thank you for joining. Vinay, Nimesh, thanks for joining. Akshay, we're just discussing our mistakes today. Appreciate all of you who have come on. And let me move on now to my second mistake. And my second mistake pertains to relationships. And the sutra I want to give you for this mistake is judgment blocks improvement. Judgment blocks improvement. As I tell you about this mistake, I still get chills down my spine because I know I still actually commit this mistake. But one of the most severe mistakes that I think I made in my life and sometimes continue to make is judging others. Judgment blocks improvement. When we judge others, we block our own improvement. Because what we do when we judge others is we pull them down and then we get a false sense that we are moving forward. But we're not actually moving forward, we're just pulling people behind us. And therefore, when we judge others, it blocks our own improvement because it gives us a false sense of we're moving forward. When actually all we're doing is pulling people back. So judgment blocks improvement for ourselves. Judgment blocks improvement for the people we're judging. Because when you judge someone, you don't really empower them to improve in their life. You just spot their mistakes, you treat them as they are, and you don't really assist in helping them grow out of any difficulties they may be having. So judgment blocks your own improvement. Judgment blocks the improvement of the people you're judging. And judgment doesn't improve the relationship that you have with that person because you've already made up your mind who they are and how they are, and therefore there's no room for that relationship to grow, to blossom. You've already closed off your heart by judging them, and therefore the relationships don't improve. The second mistake I made in my life was this, that judgment blocks improvement. At a certain point in my life, I was living in a monastery. I was living with monks. We were going to sleep at the same time. We were waking up. We were living together practically at every moment. And I realized how much I was judging the other monks who I were living with. It was interesting. Once I was on a distributing books, we meet people on the street and we stop them and we distribute books. And I met someone and he had just come back from a Vipassana retreat. So maybe some of you have been on a Vipassana retreat. It's a Buddhist retreat. It goes on for about, I think, about 10 days. And people have to observe something called a Mona Vrata, which means they're completely silent for 10 days. So this person had just come back from a Vipassana retreat. And I asked him, wow, that must have been an amazing experience being silent for 10 days. Like, what was your biggest takeaway or realization or insight or epiphany from the whole thing? And he said something amazing. He said, my biggest realization was that I'm so judgmental. And I said, why? How did you figure that out? He said, because you can imagine, he said, 50 of us came together for this retreat. We've never met each other. And then the day we meet at each other, we have to observe a silence. So you're living for 10 days with 50 people who you've never met before, but you're seeing them every day, but you can't speak to them. And so he said, after 10 days, I had looked at every one of these 50 people. I had not spoken a word to any of them, but I had made a picture in my mind of who they were, what they were about, what kind of qualities they had. And then he said, at the end of the 10 days, when we broke the silence and we started speaking to each other, then I realized that practically every character judgment that I had made of the other members was completely wrong. Because basically I just watched them and I had come to a conclusion without deeply connecting with them or hearing them. And he said, this was such a big realization for me, because I realized I do this every single day. There are people around me and I just watch them. I just kind of, from a distance, observe things and then make a judgment on them. And likely I'm completely wrong. And so I realized that in my life, and this mistake pertains to relationships, that so many relationships were damaged, so many relationships were lost actually because of judgment. And so at a certain point when I began realizing this, I started doing things to improve the situation. The first thing I said, that I'm not going to make a judgment unless I have to. Oftentimes we judge people, we judge situations, we judge events, we judge issues when we don't have to make a judgment. It's got nothing to do with us. Things are complex. Don't make a judgment unless you have to. So the first thing I stopped doing is making a judgment when I didn't need to. The second thing is, to overcome this judgmental mentality, I decided communication was really important. But rather than communicating with other people about someone I had made a judgment about, rather I should just go and communicate to that person and just try to understand things better from the horse's mouth, as it was said. One person said to me, so many problems in the world can be solved if instead of talking about each other, we talk to each other. So many problems in the world can be solved if instead of talking about each other, we talk to each other. And therefore I decided, judgmental mentality comes about when we don't communicate with the person and try to understand them. The third thing that I started doing to overcome the judgmental mentality was, I said to myself, every time I make a judgment about someone or something, I should also try to think, how can I help? How can I assist? How can I be an instrument to improve the situation or the person or the issue? And that mood of compassion. The fourth thing I decided to do is make judgments on good things as well. It's interesting how we become really judgmental about negative things, about bad things, about critical things. But I said, why not also look at all the good things that people are doing and voice that. And then when something bad comes, you can balance it. I realized the more and more that I was judgmental, it was actually a reflection of my own spiritual stagnancy. When I was spiritually stagnant, when I was not spiritually growing, when I was spiritually stuck, that's when I became the most judgmental. Because if you are not moving forward, the only way you can get a sense that there's progression in your life is by pulling people behind you. And so whenever I was judgmental, I started using it as an alarming sign that there's a spiritual stagnancy here. Otherwise, why would I be so judgmental? And so And that's the second mistake I felt I really made in my life, that I judged a lot of people and I continue to judge people. And that judgment blocks improvement. So my second mistake, judgment blocks improvement pertaining to the area of our life, which is relationships. So that's the second one. Thank you so much for all of you staying on. It's really good to see you all. Vish, thanks for your message. Glad you were able to join today. Really appreciate it. Rahul, thanks for joining. Karunika, yeah, you have a question about judgment, so I'll come back to that in a bit. Thank you. Thank you all for joining. So that was my third mistake I felt like I made. Second mistake. Now I'm going to go on to my third mistake. And my third mistake pertains to contribution. All of us are here to make a contribution to the world, to try and improve people's lives, improve the world around us. My third mistake is this. Consistency without creativity. This is one mistake I feel like I made in my life. Consistency without creativity. Before I tell you what this mistake means, I'll tell you one of the strong points I feel I had in my life. I think one of the strong points in my life, if I can say that in the most humble way possible, is I'm quite a consistent person. So, you know, like I can do the same thing every single day. Like when I go to India, I wake up at the same time. I do the same order of activities. I have the very same food. I wear the same clothes in the same way. And I study my books in the same order. I just do everything the same. Like consistency, routine, schedule, like I just eat it up. I love it. Consistency is like one of my middle names. I love consistency. And so that's one of my strong points, I feel. And it helped me a lot in my spiritual journey. But at one point, I realized consistency without creativity blocks your ability to make your best contribution to this, to the world. Consistency is good, but it has to be coupled with creativity. On the other hand, some people have a lot of creativity, but they don't have consistency. That will fail. But for me, my mistake was consistency without creativity. Because what I realized at a certain point in my life is I wasn't experimenting. I wasn't challenging myself. I wasn't exploring newer, better ways to do things. My creativity was being stifled by my consistency. And then I realized that actually I'm not making the best contribution I could make. Someone said to me, the most dangerous phrase in the English language is, we've always done it this way. And at a certain point I realized in my life that I wasn't exploring, I wasn't experimenting, I wasn't being creative. I was just going along with what I've always done, and there's some value to that consistency, but without creativity, we can't achieve our potential. And so after a certain number of years, what I started doing is consciously challenging myself, consciously experimenting to do things in different ways, in newer ways. To kind of step out of what I knew and see what could be. Amazing things began to happen. I saw that amazing doors of opportunity opened. I found more effective, more powerful ways to make a contribution to the world. And in that way, I feel like things just really, really improved. So this is what I would share with all of you on the call today, that don't fall into the trap of consistency without creativity. And for some of you, I would say, don't fall into the trap of creativity without consistency. I think these are two things that need to go hand in hand in order to make your best contribution to the world. The spiritual teachers were not just preservers of tradition, but they were also innovators of tradition. They knew how to maintain the principles but adapt the details. They were conservative in some sense that they defended the way things have always been done, but they were also liberal in another sense that they were always also exploring and adjusting to the changing times, places and circumstances. And so, yeah, this is a mistake I made in pertaining to my contribution. That challenge yourself. Look at different ways of doing things. Experiment and think out of the box. And remember, the most dangerous phrase in the English language is, we've always done it this way. Yes, you may have done things in a certain way for many years, but don't be afraid to see whether there's a different way, a better way to do it. And you may find amazing things, explore amazing things. So that's my third mistake pertaining to contribution. And we're kind of, we're at 8:30 today. So I'm going to carry on. Thank you to so many of you who have joined. Madhu Mangal, Silhouette of Simran. That's a cool name. Paul Kier, thank you so much. Really nice. Simi, thank you so much. Really great to have you on. I'm going to come back to your questions, so keep posting them on. And now I'm going to go to my final mistake, which probably many of you have heard me talk about previously. And this mistake is pertaining to our own spirituality, our own spiritual growth. And the sutra for this mistake is disconnect to connect. When I joined the monastery in 2002, just over 20 years ago, then I went to India for 6 months. And it was an amazing trip. And then I came back to the UK and I joined the monastery in Watford, the Hare Krishna temple. But then what happened is for 8 years, 8 long years, I never went back to India again. India is generally the place we go to for retreat, for spiritual immersion, for disconnecting from our normal environment and spiritually immersing ourselves. But for 8 years, I never went back to India. And after 8 years, my spiritual teacher, he came to me and he said, when was the last time you went to India? And I said, 8 years ago. He said, you're a ghost. You're living, but you're not living. He said, you regularly have to go and take spiritual pilgrimage. You regularly have to take a retreat. You regularly have to disconnect, because otherwise you won't be able to discover deeper levels of spirituality. And from that year to 2010, I started going on spiritual retreat for 1 month every single year, where I disconnect, go off the grid and really try to spiritually immerse myself. And I continue to do that even today. And it's been one of the most amazing things that I've done and continue to do in my life. Because the mistake I was making was that I was trying to connect spiritually, but I wasn't disconnecting from my normal situation at periodic intervals. And therefore, my spiritual growth wasn't progressing as it could have been. Sometimes we're so concerned with projects, productivity, we're so concerned with results, we're so overburdened with busyness and responsibilities and pressing demands of the world, that we don't step away from it all and just go internal. At a certain point, I realized it doesn't matter how busy life is. It doesn't matter how many responsibilities you have. It doesn't matter what pressing projects are on. The revolution begins within. And therefore, I just religiously started disconnecting from the world for 1 month every year, despite whatever things were going on in life, because I knew unless I disconnect, I can't really connect. I can't connect with divinity. I can't connect with people. I can't really connect with the world. I can't really connect with my purpose. I can't really connect and find deeper spiritual happiness unless I disconnect from my normal situation. And so I feel like those 8 years, although I achieved many things in those 8 years by being busy and not disconnecting, I felt like I also missed out on many things. And therefore, the fourth mistake, the sutra pertaining to spirituality, is disconnect to connect. Because if we really want to have spiritual growth, we need to step away from our normal situations. So there you have it. I have managed to share with you in just over 30 minutes the four major mistakes I feel like I made in my life. If any of you were paying attention, then maybe one of you can write them down on the comments just for everyone else's reference. But I'll just quickly summarize them and then go through some of the questions that you have shared. I shared with you today four mistakes. The first mistake is pertaining to self-development. And that mistake was helpless means hopeless. I didn't let people into my life who could help me. And at a point I realized that's blocking my development. And the moment I let beautiful people into my life who could really help me, things took a different turn. First mistake, helpless means hopeless. Second mistake is pertaining to relationships. And that second mistake, the sutra is judgment blocks improvement. I realized at a certain point that I had become very judgmental of others, and I consciously started doing four or five things to become less judgmental. And as soon as I started doing those things, I saw my relationships with people become so much more meaningful, so much more substantial, so much more beautiful and fulfilling. Because judgment blocks improvement. It blocks improvement of yourself, it blocks improvement of others, and it blocks improvement of relationships. Second mistake. Third mistake is pertaining to the contribution. We're all here to make an amazing contribution to the world. Consistency without creativity was the mistake I made. I was consistent. I was determined. I was dutiful. I kept doing the same things. But I wasn't being creative. I wasn't challenging myself. I wasn't growing. I wasn't looking for bigger, better, more powerful ways to achieve my goals. So therefore, consistency is good, but consistency without creativity is limiting in your contribution. So don't fall into that trap. Factor both things in, consistency and creativity. And the fourth and final mistake, well, at least for this session, I made many more mistakes, but for this session, the fourth and final mistake I shared with you was pertaining to spiritual growth, and that is disconnect to connect. It doesn't matter how busy, it doesn't matter how many responsibilities, always take time to step away. Always take time to invest in the invisible parts of your life. We generally only invest in the parts of our life that people will see, people will acknowledge, people will clap us for, people will pat us on the back for, people will roar and shout and give us a round of applauses for. But you have to disconnect and start investing in the invisible parts of your life that the world doesn't see. Because that's what ultimately everything is founded upon. And therefore disconnect to connect is the final sutra for the final mistake. So I hope some of you have benefited from hearing this. And some of you have gained some insights. Perhaps you also have some mistakes you would like to share. But what I'm going to do for the 5 minutes that we have is I'm just going to just see whether you have some mistakes. So Rara, I don't know if that's if I said it right, is asking on the chat, do something extraordinary with consistency. Could you give some examples of what it means to do something extraordinary for the world? Doing something extraordinary doesn't mean doing something big. It doesn't mean doing something that nobody has ever done before. It doesn't mean doing something that is completely against the odds. To be extraordinary in your life means to use all of the abilities you've been given by Providence and fully utilize themselves, those in other people's service. That's extraordinary. You're not extraordinary because you're famous. You're not extraordinary because you did something against the odds. You're extraordinary because you used everything that you had in the service of others to make a beautiful contribution to this world. So for some people, doing something extraordinary will be something big. For other people, doing something extraordinary might externally seem something very small. But small is also beautiful. Small is also wonderful. So each of us have to take time to think, what abilities was I invested with in this life, this body, this mind? What abilities does it carry? And how can I use that in contribution to others? And if you do that, you are extraordinary. It's not stereotyped. Everyone has their own contribution to make in this life. I hope that helps. Thank you for a beautiful question. So Journey to Krishna says, I have hurt a lot of people, but trying to change since coming to KC, Krishna Consciousness Spiritual Life, how do I remain humble so as not to hurt others? In this life, instead of focusing on how to not do the negative, let us focus on how to do the positive. And the positive is try to become a servant. In every situation, try to be a servant. If you're a parent, serve your children. If you're a leader, serve your dependents. If you're a student, serve your teacher. If you're whatever, wherever you are, just utilize that opportunity to be a servant. If you're a speaker, serve your audience. If you're a singer, serve those who are singing with you. Just be a servant. In every situation, don't try to exploit. Don't try to take. Don't try to control. Don't try to enjoy. Just try to serve. And if you serve, then you'll achieve an amazing level of inner satisfaction and know for sure that all of your relationships will blossom. The depth of any relationship is proportionate to how much service there is in that relationship. Okay? The depth of a relationship is proportionate to how much service there is in that relationship. There's no other measure of depth apart from how much selflessness, sacrifice, and genuine service. And therefore, when our relationships are based on service, then not only will you not hurt others, but you'll actually capture their hearts. And that's what we want to do. We don't want to walk around in the world and just say, how can I make sure I don't hurt others? We want to walk around in the world and say, how can I touch other people's hearts? And you do that through service. Thank you so much for the beautiful question. Okay, I'm going to take one final question before I log off. And I'm just searching for a question here. Okay, Karunika, you asked a question, so let me ask or attempt to answer. Others often judge us, and sometimes this can result to us then judging them knowingly or unknowingly, which then leads to criticism. How can we help this? Yes, people often judge us, and sometimes this can result to us judging them. Yeah, we should not let someone else's illusion become our illusion. When we know how painful judgment is, when we experience how demoralizing judgment is, when we go through that situation of being judged and it causes us so much pain, then the net result of that is we should think, why would I want to do that to anyone else? Even when people judge us, if we're having greater spiritual acumen, then we realize that that judgment is just part of the struggle that they're going through. And therefore, why would we want to respond in a negative way? We need to respond with positivity. Lincoln, he said, I kill all of my enemies. I kill all of my enemies by making them my friends. So, you want to kill your enemies with words, you want to kill your enemies with negativity, you won't kill them, they'll come back with even more. But maybe you can kill the enmity within them through positivity, through love, through rising above it, through being more saintly, and touch their hearts, and then kill your enemies by making them your friends. That's a more progressive way for a spiritualist to deal with it. Otherwise, if you get into the dog fight, even if you win it, you stay with a doggish mentality. So, even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat. Anyway, you get my point. Thank you so much, everyone. It is 8:50. I have outstayed my welcome on Instagram Live. I really, really appreciate all of you coming on. I tried to share with you some of my mistakes today in life. I'm in Leicester at the moment with one of my good friends, and we have lots to talk about this evening. A lot of mistakes to talk about, but it was really nice to be with all of you, and I really appreciate all of you coming on. So many of you came on this evening. It really gave me a chance to also meditate on my own life and how to improve. So yeah, maybe you can take some moments tonight and think, what mistakes did I make in my life? What can I learn from them? And yeah, four sutras to take away with you. Number one, helpless means hopeless. Number two, judgment blocks improvement. Number three, consistency without creativity doesn't work. And fourth one, disconnect to connect. And you can take away these learnings from the mistakes of life. I wish you all the best. We'll connect with you again soon. Yes, thank you, Clara. Thank you, Parameshwari. Thank you. So many names here. I really, really appreciate you all joining and being with us this Thursday evening. Stay warm. The temperatures are dropping, but we wish you some heartwarming experiences in the freezing temperatures over the coming week. And look forward to connecting next week. Next week, we're talking about finding the inner child. Each of us have an inner child within us, a beautiful, pure, innocent, simple child. And we're going to be talking about what that inner child is and how to awaken it, because that inner child is the emblem of pure spirituality. They say when you really grow up spiritually, you become a kid again. So if you're interested in finding out how to become a kid again and finding your inner child, join us next week on Insta, 8 p.m. Thank you again, everyone, for coming. Thank you for all your waves and claps and loves and hearts. And they told me to say this. If you liked it, then you got to share it. You got to like it. You got to love it. And you got to do whatever else you can do to spread the positivity. Thank you so much. Wish you a wonderful evening. Sweet dreams. As they say, don't have nightmares.